The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Well, we have made it to the final hour, and what a really interesting show it's been. Appreciate Tim Brando joining us the entire 5 o'clock Eastern Time hour. If you missed some of the news earlier today, it was reported by John Talty that the SEC Media Day is scheduled for the 13th through the 16th. That's 2 weeks from now. Have been postponed indefinitely. No idea when they will be. Most expect it to be in a couple of weeks after that. But there have been a number of interpretations about why that announcement, well, it hasn't been announced yet. It's just been reported. The SEC has not officially said that. But you can bet it will not happen in 2 weeks. A lot of conversation about the season. Naturally, you heard Tim there. You've heard other guests throughout the program. We can hear from you on any subject at all at 855-242-7285, the final hour. Let's get back to the calls and talk to Greg, who is on the air. Hey, Greg, welcome.
Hey, Paul. Appreciate you taking my call today.
Thank you.
Hey, I missed Tim, but that was a tremendous segment, Paul. You did a great job.
Now, he's amazing.
I'm telling you. That would be worth an hour to come back and listen to him about politics, wouldn't it?
Well, no, Tim's pretty plugged in. You're right.
Oh, no, I know. So not to beat a dead horse too dead, but let's say no ifs, but the worst case scenario of tremendous upsurge, middle of the season, coronavirus, lots of players not eligible. Able to play for 2 weeks. What would you say the average SEC team's over-under is in total number of games that could be played in a season based on something like that?
Well, it's a good question, and I've heard they're looking at a number of scenarios, but right now the biggest issue that's facing the SEC and everyone else is what's happening contemporaneous to them, and that's the number. Those are the spikes around the country. You know, it was one thing to be talking about this in March when New York and New Jersey and Connecticut were at siege level. The problem now is around us. It's in Texas. It's in Florida. Alabama numbers, as you know, keep going up. California. Mm-hmm. So those are numbers that university presidents are looking at right now, and I think they're having to take a deep breath, especially about whether to let students back on campus. That's, you know, college football is not that difficult. There's only 100 players and personnel, and it can be managed at least on the field pretty effectively. So mm-hmm. Back to your question, I think there's a 12-game model, and then the second model is a conference-only model. I've heard mm-hmm. a 10-game model that would have 10 conference games, so you would add two. However they figure out how to do that. I'm sure they would probably try to keep travel at a minimum. So that's something that they have to factor in.
Yeah, a conference-only model is really intriguing.
I can tell you with a degree of authority that's on the table. And here's why it could work. Because the real issue is travel. And expense. If there are not going to be any fans, let's say Labor Day weekend, does Tennessee really need to bring Charlotte at $2 million to Neyland Stadium? What do they get out of it? Mm-hmm. You can apply that across the board. Alabama, Southern Cal, nobody's going to be at the game. Does that game pay for itself? So you start getting into financial questions, and then within the conference, you know those games are sellable on television. And, I'm pretty sure that's one of the contingencies that Greg Sankey was talking about the other day. It's not number one, but I bet it's close to being number two.
Right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Great show today.
Thank you very much. And I say that, and, you know, everything is in theory right now. I do think there's the last 2 weeks have been probably the most negative period in terms of this since we began. Now, I say all this because, you know, I mean, this show goes on 4 hours every day. So we're watching this like financial analysts watch the stock market. One day it's great, the next day it's terrible. If it's good for 3 or 4 days and it's terrible for one day, you're going to have a pretty good week. Right now, there haven't been a lot of good days, but some of that is, some of that could be overdone. There's some good news in the numbers, but there's also some foreboding news. So that's what they're looking at, and they, like we've heard 1,000 times, they still have a little bit of time on their hand, but not much. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Robert, who is up next. Hey, Robert, great to have you on.
Hey, nice to talk to you. I was wondering, I've never heard anyone ask the question, why couldn't the schools to season ticket holders over 21 just do a release of liability and let them run with that? Say I'm 21 and I'm willing to go to a game and release the university's liability. If you're over 21, you're allowed to do a lot of things. You can watch you can watch TV and look at the CDC and know the death rate. And why can't you just be a big boy and make your own decisions?
Well, you know what, Robert, I think ultimately that's not a bad idea. I don't want somebody making a decision for me, and you don't want one making any for you. So I think what they have to decide to do, though, I know athletic directors have already, this is probably the first thing that they discussed early on, is, they'll follow the local guidelines. And, right now, if you're in Texas, where I think they had 12,000 new cases today, do you want to open up Jerry World to 80,000 people on the Saturday before Labor Day? That's just a question.
I don't know. I mean, I quite honestly, if they told me I could go to Tuscaloosa and watch them play LSU or Auburn or A&M, whatever, this year, I'd happily go. If it was played outside during the day, I would have no problem going.
I agree with you on one level. I mean, I want to go too, but you've been to college football games. You don't walk in by yourself, do you?
No. I mean, that the concessions and going through the gates are the big problem. I understand that. But I what I don't understand is why they won't let you go ahead and make a decision if you could release yourself from liability or release them from liability. I guess you could. I don't understand why you can't go ahead and go knowing the risk and saying, hey,
I don't think I'm pretty sure they have not made those decisions yet. So I think it's a fair question, Robert. Ultimately, we're all responsible for ourselves. And I don't understand the liability question. I think it's a fascinating question. And maybe, at some point here, we could get into that, because I think if you're sitting there as the president of the University of Alabama, you're talking to Nick Saban and you're talking to Greg Byrne, but I promise you, you're going down the hallway and talking to the general counsel of the university as well.
Well, I don't know whether I can get an opinion, but would you be intimidated by sitting out having, say, 30,000 fans at Bryant-Denny? Would you be intimidated during a day game to show up?
I would not be concerned about sitting outside as long as I had a little bit of space. My concern would be getting in the game and getting in, and depending on, everyone goes through a different gate. I'm outside every day. It doesn't concern me being outside with people.
Exactly. Well, man, I truly enjoy your show. I've been listening to you since Don from downtown in Birmingham. I listen to you every day, man. It's great talking to you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. But there's a difference between being outside and being inside, though. And, would I be thrilled about walking in one of those restrooms at Bryant-Denny Stadium? I mean, I think you have to look at the whole thing from an administrative standpoint. No, I mean, we've all seen the same statistics and all of us have seen the same charts and we've seen everything, ad infinitum, here, in relation to, the numbers. But, those are decisions that, will be made. There'll be happy fans and angry fans. I'm curious. He asked me the question. I don't mind sitting in the stadium. I'm not sure about some of the other things. What about you folks? We'll take a break. More of your phone calls, 855-242-7285 when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
last caller asked me a question. I'm really interested in what you think. I mean, how many of you forget whether we have football or not, and that's not in our hands. It could be conceivably in our hands whether we go to games or not. Are you folks concerned about going to a game with all the numbers up? And I get sitting in a section that's not all overly crowded, but what about everything else that goes into a stadium? Be curious. If you want to give us a ring, you can do so. 855-242-7285. Let's talk to Bubba, who is in Texas. Hey, Bubba.
Hello.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering who you thought, if we do have a season, who you thought would win a Week 2 matchup, LSU versus Texas?
Wow, what a great game that is. I would go with LSU in that game. Are you a Texas fan?
I am.
I'm not saying it's a slam dunk there. I mean, you don't need me to tell you LSU has 1,000 holes right now. Can they put them together again by the second week? But I like LSU at home. I think Texas is going to be a really good program, but I'm going with the home team there without a lot of thought. But hey, Bubba, thank you for the call. I hope we continue that conversation. AC is in Michigan. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my phone call this afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Well, what's your background cheerleaders, Mr. Feinbaum?
I'm sorry, what was the question again, AC?
Your background cheerleaders.
Oh, the guys that you normally see on TV?
Are you there?
Yeah, are you talking about Mark and those guys?
Yes, that Mark Kubiak, that Hamburglar, and all them boys.
Yeah, well, ever since we started the pandemic, the format of the program has changed a little bit, and we haven't heard from them. They're still around, though.
All right, perfect. Well, my question to you, Mr. Feinbaum, in your own words, what does 4th of July mean to you and Mr. Feinbaum? It is time to retire. Let us in.
Well, thanks for the call. I always appreciate the warmth of your and the attitude. I can also choose to exercise my constitutional rights not to even bother answering your question. Chase is up next from Texas. Hello, Chase.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yes, sir. Hot down here. I was going to say, I feel like everybody down here in the great state of Texas, if we do have football this fall, and I don't think we really give a dang whether we have fans in the stands or not. As long as we have football, I feel like everything's going to be all right, to be honest with you. We haven't had anything to watch besides.
How important is it to you to have football?
Man, it's really and truly. I mean, that's all I like to watch. I mean, we'll have dove hunting this fall. Other than that, we really won't have anything to do besides go to work, come home to our families, and that's really about it.
Yeah,
so,
that's
I mean,
a good question.
Something to kind of break the monotony, and something to look forward to every Saturday. Because I like college football. I like the NFL. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Cowboys fan, but I mean, I'm a Texas Tech fan, and that ain't nothing better than getting ready for a game as soon as you get off work. I mean, it's sitting back with your buddies, cutting up and having a few cold ones, and it's great.
Who is your team, Chase?
Texas Tech is not as bad as I hate to say it, but not a lot of people root for the Red Raiders down here, but I'll scream wreck them every Saturday.
No, I followed that program a long time. I still remember watching that game between Texas and Texas Tech on that Saturday night when Tech won.
Crabtree pulls free, Reckham Tech.
Yeah, no, it etched in my mind.
Yes, sir.
When I think of Texas,
and you know,
Tech
a lot
football.
Of people don't realize, you know, that they think a lot about that. You know, we played Bama in the Cotton Bowl. I want to say 2004, 2005, which I know they beat us, but we gave him a run for the money, which I think, if I believe, it was Saban's first year.
I'm not sure. I don't think he was there yet.
Oh, was he not there yet? Well, anyway, we gave him a run for the money. And, you know, heck, I go way back. I remember waking up and getting ready to, you know, I grew up whenever Spike Dykes was there. Just, you know.
Yeah, no, Spike was great. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to be negative here, but, I mean, without college football this fall, what would you do?
Get ready to go dove hunting every day, I guess.
Okay.
After I get off work. I mean, that's really about it, you know. Maybe go rope some steers, go team rope a little bit. But, I mean, down here in Texas, Friday night football, Saturday afternoon, Sundays. I mean, that, during the fall, that's what a lot of people live for down here.
Yeah, no, I've spent quite a few weekends in Texas in the football season, and
yes,
I understand that. But I was curious because, you know, I don't think anybody knows what we're going to do yet. But
I sure hope they figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, listen, sure, Chase, great to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I sure thank you for taking the time out and talking. And like I said, first time caller, long time listener. I sure like listening to your shows.
Well, thank you for saying that. I just thought we had Chase Rice on the show a couple weeks ago, and what an interesting name that is. How'd you get the name Chase?
Well, I don't know if it's appropriate to say on airways, but my dad always said whenever I got days, he'd always be chasing me around. So
that's a pretty good explanation. Hey, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. And it's a great question, too, because – I mean, everyone says to me, well, what are you going to do if you don't have football? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll figure something out. But, you know, I really do wonder, though, and there are so many people who, including myself, by the way, whose lives really revolve around. It's not just those 15 weeks. It's right now. It's the buildup. It's the conversation. And, I mean, I really don't. I rarely say this, but it's one of those questions I really don't want to think about until you have to, because it is utterly depressing. Let's continue with more calls here and talk to Greg, who is in Wyoming. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate everything you do. You got a great show.
Thank you.
I wanted to call and ask. I'm a high school football coach, and you know, they've slowly let us start doing just some very minor workouts, conditioning, that we can do some work with the football, but we have to sanitize it and all that. And we still don't know if there's going to be a season or how any of that's going to work. But my question to you is, if there is not a high school season, unfortunately, how's that recruiting process going to shape up for, you know, your major program to your mid-major? If you got a class of seniors that don't get a season and have no film for any of these coaches to look at.
Yeah, Greg, I think for the elite players, it probably won't be as big a deal. And you know where I'm going here, because those kids are already committing now and they've been seen before. I worry more about the next level of players who need that experience to get whether it's a lower Power Five or an FCS. I mean, you could probably answer me as well, because and by the way, I'm not in Wyoming, of course. I'd love to be right now, but I would think that COVID is not as prevalent out there. Would that be fair?
Yes, I have some friends who also coach in Colorado as well. You know, we've been pretty as well in that, but you know, it's the whole nation. I mean, I think it's an all for one sort of thing. And the thing of it is, you know, like traveling for say, if you're traveling across on a bus for 5 hours to a game, and they have to ride a bus, here's something people don't even talk about. How do you social distance on a school bus?
You know, you can't.
Are they going to have to take 4 school buses for a team of 60 kids when school budgets are already going to be cut? I mean, you know, as coaches, we've already talked about this. You know, can't take a team of 60 kids and see if the district's even going to pay for 4 or 5 buses to social. So there's already problem one.
Greg, what do you hear? What are you being told? I'm really curious about this and asking people around the country. What are you hearing from administrators in terms of actual in-class school?
You know, it's like everything else. This thing changes every single day. No one knows. There's not, I mean, they're going to make a decision towards the issue by.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's the cool air in Wyoming or not, but we are losing him. We'll try to get Greg back. That was an interesting call. Let's check in with Ray, who is up next. Hey, Ray, thanks for the call.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Hey, what about the university? How are they going to survive without the fans in the stands, and who's going to determine who gets into those stands if they do have a season?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and I know athletic directors have been pondering this. I've spoken to a few, and they're going to tick off a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I'm an avid football fan myself for college, but I don't know. It's all a mess. Appreciate it. Thanks
yeah, I don't think we're going to. This is going to be something that drags on until September 1st. I think the next 4 weeks. I really think. You know, what's happening around the country is going to help dictate. If this thing can calm down, I think we're in good shape. If it doesn't, then it becomes a real juggernaut. Thank you for the call. I tell you what, why don't we go to a break? And if you want to give us a ring, the final 30 minutes, we would be more than happy to have you on. 855-242-7285. A lot of questions out there. How comfortable you would be going to a game. High school, too. We just talked to a high school administrator earlier from Carolina, and we just talked to a high school coach from Wyoming. And that is something I'm really concerned about because high school football is just it's the centerpiece of so many cities around the country and so many small towns. And the idea that it wouldn't happen, I know everyone's saying it will, but will it really, though? You heard the coach right there. Let's take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back. Final 30 minutes. Tim Brando was with us earlier. The SEC Media Day scheduled for 2 weeks from now, reportedly on hold, as pretty much everything is in college football. We were talking to a coach out in Wyoming a minute ago. Coach, you back?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry about that. Hopefully we can hang in here and have some quality signal. You know, it's good old AT&T service, you know.
Great to have you back.
Thank you so much. So what I was saying, you know, here's just one constitute of a problem. Let's say you're traveling, and I have friends in Colorado, coach, too. And you got a 5-hour bus ride, and you know, you normally stop to let kids and stretch and use the bathroom or whatnot. Well, what if that county had a big outbreak? You know, how do you even stop to take a break or what? You know, there's just so many dominoes of what this has opened up that you just starting the season can't even fathom how many boxes you have to check, excuse me.
Yeah, I think that's a real dilemma, and you know, I just saw something from the governor of Michigan who pretty much said to the High School Athletic Association there, if you can't practice social distancing, which you and I both know nobody can in high school football, then she recommended no sports. I think you're going to hear more of that.
Yeah, and I look up other states, you know, some of the states with, you know, warmer climates in the fall, or the winter, excuse me, in the spring. You know, maybe they can move it to spring season, but, you know, a lot of the, you know, Midwest, mountainous, Northeast states, when you got freezing winters and spring, you can't essentially do that when you start your second semester of school with that. So, you know, it's just, you know, one idea, you know, we threw around is like, you know, the freshman schedule where you play all the local county schools and that. Maybe you just play the same local county schools twice. And you don't go play your league or your non-league games, and maybe something they might just play 3 or 4 games this year, and just you play your local county team, you know, regardless of size or whatnot. But it's a conundrum that and you know what it is. You're the football guy yourself. You can't cut corners to make the game work as beautifully as it is. It either goes or you can't. You can't with football. You just can't put crutches in it to keep it going forward.
No, I agree. I mean, that's the artistry of football. You can't have coaches like standing 6 feet away from the player while he's screaming at him.
No, and then just you think if they want to make some sort of mask or apparatus that could prevent saliva, well, Okay, good luck with that, with getting budgets in the school to pay for a $600 helmet. I'm just making a number up in my head to pay for every single kid to have by the fall season. You know, it's just, it's kind of an unfortunate impossibility. You know, something they talk about, like when you have like a freshman level game, you know, fans and that, or parents, you know, they're spread out amongst the field, just stand there, and you have the little prep scoreboard on your practice field that you play that game on. That could almost work in a social distancing sense, but any sort of game in a stadium or whatnot, you know, where you can't spread things apart like that, you know, that's just the issue. But to go back what you're saying, everything is changing week to week, whether it's going back in the classroom or, you know, how a season will work. You know, we just don't know.
Well, Coach, thank you for sharing it. And if love to stay in touch, because it's such an important part of everything what we love here. Hey, be well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, that really bugs me. I know everything is out there that's up in the air, but the idea of high school football not existing is really sad, if indeed that happens. And I know that that there's no guarantee of that either way. Let's go to Chad next. Hey, Chad.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I've grew up, you know, seeing you on the news, reading you in the paper, and
thank you.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't always a fan, and until really the show come along, and I started listening to the show, and I've become a big fan. But first time caller, by the way. But
well,
my question for you was, with missing so much high school football, what is that gonna do as far as the high school rankings in recruiting go? You know, I mean, how far off are these ratings gonna be, you think, on these players not having seen them play in, you know, since maybe their junior year or so?
Well, I think it could certainly affect it. And, you know, one thing I would guess is that, you know, there are a lot of players that blossom late in their careers in high school. I mean, maybe they didn't get a chance to to play. So, I mean, I do think it could be a big deal. Yeah, I would think the bigger schools – have a pretty good idea of what they have by now. I mean, their commitment's going on every day. And, you know, this is when it's going to be incumbent upon coaches to be good evaluators. And I think that's what, I mean, you always hear about Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and other coaches who are at the top of the food shelf when it comes to evaluation, because there will be a lot unknown. I still think the opportunities will be there. More than anything, it's just sad to think about the experience lost.
Yeah.
And by the way, what you said about me a minute ago about not being a fan, I didn't really have that many fans early in my career, that's quite all right. Right, I get it.
Well, another thing is that, you know, I think a lot of these coaches are probably going to come up with some star players out of this deal that, you know, that might me, you know, two or three star ranked players, but should have been four or five star ranked, you know, if they'd played another year. So I think some of these schools are going to, I think some of these other coaches that don't normally get these five star players are going to look up, you know, if they pay attention.
I think you may be right. Well, I'll tell you what, Chad, I'm glad you finally called the show, and I hope you'll do it again. Thank you very much. Tommy is in Texas, and you're on the air. Hello, Tommy.
I'm here.
Hey there. Go right ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, so the last caller, he kind of stole my thunder, but I was thinking the same thing. You know, I'm thinking about the Cam Newtons and the Aaron Rodgers of the world, and I was just wondering, like, how that's going to trickle down from the high school all the way to the pro level, you know, how that's going to be addressed. It's going to be kind of wild, and I was wondering what your opinion was on that, how they're going to go, like, moving forward. You know, with having such little tape and such little, you know, being able to know much about these players.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's certainly, it's just like right now, with no spring ball, you have a lot of players that came in the wintertime from high school that have missed an incredibly important opportunity. But, you know, the one thing I'll say about high school football now, with all these elite camps in the summer, which, guess what, aren't going on right now. You know, they're a little better prepared than it was maybe 20 or 30 years ago when you really didn't know very much. The better players, there is a lot known about. Now, I think once you get past the absolute elite, you start getting into the great big unknown.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just, you know, there's so many guys that they fly under the radar. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Cam Newton and, you know, you have so many MVPs, Steve Smith, Ocho Cinco, like so many of these guys that, you know, they flew under the radar for all these years, and I just feel bad for them. And, you know, I wonder how the league is going to be able to, you know, track them down, you know, in JUCO or even, you know, the smaller colleges.
It's a question I've never really thought about before because we didn't really miss that. Even though we missed the NCAA tournament, basketball was pretty much done. Baseball, we didn't get, but so much is known about those players. But I hate to delve too deep into the question yet. We may not be that far away from it, but thanks for bringing it up. Well, we're heading to a break. You want to chime in? Good time to do it. 855-242-7285. The final segment of this program on a Tuesday afternoon, last day of June, is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Final couple of minutes of the program, and let's check out Will, who is up next. Hey, Will.
Hey, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure. Happy to do it.
Hey, listen, there was a young man that called late yesterday evening, and he was African-American, and he said that he didn't like being called an African-American, just an American. And he didn't know where African-American come from. Well, I wanted to answer that for him, and I hope he's listening, is that our people, when they were brought over, the first thing that happened to them, that they were stripped of all of their identity, including their names, was taken away. So anyway, fast forward all the way up to the 70s, there was a big debate on whether to be called Negro, Black, or whatever. But they finally settled on African-American because, yes, we are Americans because we were born in America, but our forefathers were born in Africa. And so we have in that descent, our ancestors was African. So it's real appropriate to settle on African American. That gives us some kind of identity and validation.
You know, it's interesting because I must say, and I've been around long enough, as you have, to watch this evolve, and it has changed over the years. And I mean, I even hear people now use the phrase "a person of color," which I don't really think is much of an identification. Other than you're not white.
Yeah, it's many colors. You know, it's many colors out there. Even in the black race, there's cinnamon, brown, black. You know.
I'm curious. When did the phrase "black" go out of style?
It was in the early 70s.
Okay.
It started trinkling out, and that tells me that there was a deep seated struggle trying to find an identity. I don't care if you're black, blue, green, whatever. If you don't have an identity, you're shifting in the wind. You don't have any
stability. It's a good point because to me, African American is a positive phrase.
It's positive, and it brings a little bit more validation. See, the majority of the black people was waiting on validation,
right?
In America, and having that confusion is, I'm black. I look at these Africans, and I hear that my ancestors came from Africa, and then here I am born in America. Who am I?
No, it's great. I say this jokingly, but in my family, I had to fight a different stigma. I was a Southerner, and they were all Northerners. So, I mean, this is not as serious as what you're talking about, but I've said this before, but I was the only non-New Yorker, including my older sister, and they literally made fun of me because I was from the South.
Yeah. Yeah. And to top everything else off is that you are a Jew.
Yeah, well.
And you have the, and you know your lineage.
Yeah, and you know, you learn. I mean, I don't want to try to compare growing up a Jew in the South to what you went through, but you know that you're being persecuted. That just comes with the birth certificate.
Right, right. And but I just wanted to get that out there, and I hope that young man is listening, and I hope it settles something for him.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, and that's one thing I really think this conversation has. I know a lot of people for the last 6 weeks have been uncomfortable, but that's okay. It doesn't bother me. But I've learned a great deal, and I think this conversation here is another one of those. People need to hear this stuff because they, you know, a lot of us don't really understand it,
and we need to get it out. We hear this. We say this in our circles. And we hear this in our circles, but it's just so compound and so compressed from generation to generation to generation that it's become a ticking time bomb, and that bomb is exploding. And
well, it really has.
It's exploding.
Yeah, you know, and I, you know, you think back on history, and you know, to me, because I think it's competing now with this pandemic, but I think in the end we'll get through that. But the inflection point of George Floyd, I think, will be talked about for decades to come.
Yes, and unfortunately, he lost his life, but at the same time, he is a hero because it's pulling it out of us. Black and white is pulling it out of us, and it needs to be pulled out so that we can grow and be healed.
Well, thank you so much, Ray. You're the last caller of the night. We deeply appreciate it. It's been a very interesting program. We'll do it again tomorrow. We will see you right here. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.